If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and are not practicing the truth. 1 John 1:6. This Greek word for practicing denotes doing things habitually and continually by abiding in the things. Hence, it has the sense of practice. To practice the truth is to live the truth habitually, not merely to do it occasionally. From Holy Bible Recovery Version, 1 John 1:6, Note 5, by Living Stream Ministry. This week, we continue the series titled The New Revival, with speaking from Brother Andrew Yu on picking up 7 waypoints as our new habits. This is part 2 of Message 5 from a conference hosted by the church in New York City in November of 2015. The original message was spoken with side-by-side English to Chinese translation, which was edited out for brevity, thereby affecting the cadence of the speaking. A link to the unedited version can be found in the episode notes.
Okay, now let's turn to the scripture. What does the Bible say? So the next one. The first verse I want to turn to your attention is 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. It says, if we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and are not practicing the truth. The emphasis I want to put is on the word practicing. What does the word practice mean? That word in Greek is praxis. So you have orthodoxy, meaning rightness in truth, and you have also praxis, which is rightness in your conduct. So practice is that, the way we conduct ourselves. Now, the footnote is very important. The Greek verb denotes doing things habitually. So the new revival is a habit, and the overcoming life is a habit. Doing things habitually and continually by abiding in the things. Hence, it has the sense of practice, life practice. And it's also used in all those following verses. So what is to practice the truth? It is to be in the truth habitually, not only occasionally. You know, I told the young people, you need to set aside an hour a day to get into the Bible and to go over the life study and to go over the recovery version sequentially. And so many say, oh, I go to the conference and trainings, and suddenly over the weekend, I read over the whole book. But the rest of the year, I'm in my computer game. Well, that is occasionally. We want to live in the truth habitually. That is the new revival. The new revival is to get into new habits. Now, in a minute, I'm going to show you that Duke University had a paper that says 40% of human behavior is based on habit. You get up and you brush your teeth. You don't even think twice. It's not conscious effort. You get into the car, and when some danger comes, you slam on the brake. It's something that comes in habitually. It's something that is built in you. It's built into your brain. And modern neuroscience has advanced so much, they can actually identify the area where your habits are being programmed. It's the area called basal ganglia. I think I got it right. So the Christian life is a matter of habit. The overcoming life is a matter of habit. The God-ordained way is a matter of habit. Okay, next verse. It's a very interesting verse. It says, if by the Spirit you put to death the practices of the body, then you're going to live. Now, in the old Union version in Chinese, it says, if you by the Spirit put to death the body. But that's not what it means. It's the same word that is in 1 John chapter 1. It's just the practices that you have that is apart from the Spirit. So in the morning you get up, you're in the habit of reading the New York Times. Without reading the New York Times, you can't go get on your breakfast. That is not something sinful. That is not even something fleshly. That is the practice of the body. Now, it says that by the Spirit, we can change the practice of our body. We can pick up a new set of habits, not just to drop the evil habits, but drop any habit that is not of the Spirit. Now, I didn't put the footnote of that word practice here on the board. But if you read your recovery version, the footnote there says that the practice of the body is anything that is done apart from the spirit. So we're used to, we're in the habit of not acting according to the spirit. We're in that habit. And those things are programmed and written into our basal ganglia. And so you don't have to think twice. It's not a conscious effort. But the spirit can put to death all these practices. If by the spirit you put to death the practices of the body, you will live. The next frame. Here's a little bit of psychology. Sorry, I start talking about psychology. We shouldn't be talking about psychology on the podium, right? But everybody knows today that the power of habits, there is even a book out, you know, a paperback that is called The Power of Habits. And it talks about the habit loop. And it starts out with a cue, C-U-E-Q, a cue, you know, like, dang, the red light goes on. Then you go for a sequence. Then number three, you have the reward. All of you know the experiment of those Russian Pavlov dog. Pavlov, the Russian scientist. Anyway, a cue, a sequence, and a reward. Something is programmed into your brain. So eventually, you get the cue subconsciously and automatically you do the sequence. That's what's called the habit loop. Then the second thing that they talk about is what I talked about earlier. It's that part in the brain that stores all your habit. And it's amazing that all this is discovered in the last 10 years. And then on the way coming to the meeting, I asked my wife, do you know what this basal ganglia is? She said, oh yeah, all the habits are there. And 85% of her patients, if they can change a habit, 85% have their problems taken care of. So now please, Marilyn, please stand up. And give me that litany of sicknesses that can be cured by changing habit. Let me try to remember and then you correct me. First five things are related to bad psychological habit. Smoking, drinking, doping, anxiety, is a psychological thing. And then, listen. The next five or six things are physical. Diabetes, hypertension, heart attacks and cancer, obesity, hip replacement. All of those can be traced to habits. If you change your habit, you get rid of all these sickness. All you need to do is to reprogram your basal ganglia. Now, and then the fourth thing, very interesting. And they learned it from Alcoholic Anonymous. They said people pick up the faith that they can change in a group setting. By mutual testimonies, they began to have the belief and the faith that they can change. And that faith that they can change will enable to take the first step. And that first step will strengthen the second step. And then the second step will develop into the third step. Eventually, that becomes something habitual. And you can actually measure it by the probes. I'm glad that science found that out. But I'm going to tell those scientists, sorry, you're too late. 2,000 years ago, Paul found that out. Paul said, if you set your mind on the spirit, it will be life and peace. If you set your mind on the flesh, it will be death. And then whatever you live out will be automatic. Okay, now I'm going to come back a little bit. I'm not going to talk about, this is not on psychology, but it's interesting that what they're talking about. But no, they know the problem, they even know the way, but they don't know how to solve it. And they have to go to Alcoholic Anonymous. I am going to tell you that you have the way. There's a way for you to live an overcoming life for the purpose of fulfilling God's economy. Okay, well, before that, what is that golden rule? The golden rule is that you can cut off habit, you can only replace habit. So you replace one kind of habit with another. Next frame. What is the power of habit? Just a few quotes. I mentioned earlier on Duke University, it's that 40% of your human behavior is formed by habit. Actually, in one of the messages a few feasts back, I read something that it's 80%. Okay, so I'll take that conservative number, 40%. Then there's this thing that is very different versions floating around. But I take this one because it's by Gandhi. Everybody knows his name. It says, your belief, what you believe in your brain, becomes your thoughts. Your thought becomes your word. Your word becomes your act. Your action becomes your habit. Your habit becomes your value. And then eventually your value, then that's your life. Now, if it is wrong belief and wrong thought, the mind is set on the flesh, for example, you end up with the bad practices of the body, and the destiny is death. But if you set your mind on the spirit, then you will, by the spirit, put to death the practices of the body. You will have healthy spiritual habits, and the destiny is life. Okay, let's take a look. These are the four progressive stages. You start out by being unconscious of your destructive. Then the second step is you're conscious of your destructive behavior. Then you start changing your habit, and you become conscious of your constructive behavior. And you do it again and again and again and again until it becomes unconscious, because it becomes your habit. Then it becomes unconscious of having constructive behaviors. And in your physical realm and psychological realm, if you do that, that takes care of 85% of what my wife was talking about. Now we're more. We have the spirit. So let's take a look, the next frame. The example of progressive stages in the Bible. You start out by walking in the flesh, being unconscious of it. Then the light comes. You start being conscious that you're walking according to the flesh. Then the Lord's grace work on you, and the companionship give the faith, and you start taking the first step to change your habit. And you start being conscious that you're walking in the spirit. And you do that again and again until that get programmed into your brain, until you start walking by the spirit unconscious. That's what Romans 8 is talking about. And that is the new revival that Brother Lee was talking about. And for the young ones, this is my word to you this morning. Change your habit. If you change your habit, then you will live the overcoming life. If you change your habit, then you will have the new revival. And you will advance from cycle to cycle, not from tent meeting to tent meeting or from conference to conference. Then you will be heading on towards the middle of the sun. When I speak to young people, always got some action points. So action points. What is waypoint? Let me tell you something. 5 years ago, my wife started working in the desert. It takes more than 2 hours to drive there. And the crazy idea came to me. What if I have a private little aircraft? Then I can fly there all the time. So guess what? I start enrolling for pilot's training program. And that's where I pick up this point. So you want to fly from Los Angeles to San Francisco. That's too far away. So you set 4 or 5 waypoints. And so you aim at the waypoint, the first waypoint. And then after you get to the first waypoint, then you aim at the second. And so instead of getting all the way to the target, ultimate target, you go by attainable waypoints. So these are attainable, 7 attainable waypoints. It's very interesting that the children of Israelite, when they go through the big and terrible wilderness, there are 42 stations. And if you study history or geography, you'll see that those 42 stations are actually 42 water holes. So the desert is a terrible place. You get lost, then you'll die right away. So how do you navigate through the wilderness? You just get to know where the first waypoint is. Don't get distracted. Once you get distracted, you'll die. Just aim at that first waypoint. Once you reach that first waypoint, then go to the second. You remember in the first meeting, I talked about Princess Lucia. I don't know why I come back to this. That is the most important thing. If you set that as your goal and you reach that, then you won't die on the wilderness. Otherwise, if you don't have that, you can wander and wander. You just wander 1 hour and then you'll be done. You'll be gone. So, okay, young working saints, I'm going to offer you 7 waypoints so that you can survive in this great and terrible wilderness. It's very easy to understand. It depends on whether you want to do it or not. If you pick it up, it will become eventually your habit program into you. Okay, if you respond to that, say amen.
Yeah.
Okay, when I read it, if you respond, say amen. having a time with the Lord every day.
Amen. Amen.
Having a time with the Lord every day.
Amen.
Two, setting aside definite time for the pursuit of the truth in the ministry every day.
Amen.
If you do that half an hour and you read through one life study message, you'll finish the entire life study of the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, in 5.5 years. About 10 years ago, I charged the young ones. I said, okay, now the old generation is passing to you the baton. What is the baton? The baton is not the key to the meeting hall. The baton is the truth that is among us. You got to pick it up. So who wants to finish the entire life study in 5.5 years? Sign up. I agree with Ricky last night. He said, write it on a piece of paper. Now, that's good. Sign your dot on the dotted line. Well, guess what? A good number of them finished that in half a year. And the churches in Taiwan, they cooperated to help the young people. And public transportation, you have buses. If you miss one bus, then they have private courier service that take you to the next bus station. So the church provide courier service for those that occasionally drop out. Then they get them ahead and wait at the next point. Eventually, many. If you finish that, that would be the biggest inheritance that you have. You know, when some young people, they get married, the older generation give them a whole set of recovery life study, and they put it very nicely on the shelf. And it sits there for first year, second year, third year. And then the children get married, and they give the set to them. I tell you, the biggest and best inheritance that you can have is to get the truth into you. You know, in the 1980s, Brother Lee went to Taiwan, and he has three slogans. Get the truth into the saints. Get the church life into the homes. And get the gospel into our living. That can encapsulate what the new way is. The truth has to get into us, not just on the shelf. You know, a few years back, we started in the Living Stream what is called the FTTA Online. You can't come to the full-time training, job, you have a family, sign up under the FTTAOL. You can go to the website today. Just type FTTA Online and you'll be there. And for 1 hour a day, you can sign up for a class. And it would be just like going through the full-time training. Right now, in this term, there are 4 courses. And you can choose either 1 or 2 as time permits. What better way to spend your time than to invest your time in the study of the truth? You will be thankful to the Lord for the rest of your life. You know, some parents, they teach their children. Money is the last thing because it goes away. Health is number 2. Because it stays with you. Education is most permanent because whatever you have, it will be with you all the time. But listen, there's truth, and truth will be with you even after you die. Truth is more permanent than your money, than your health, than your education, than everything. That would be the best investment that you can have. If you say, I can't go to the FTTA, there's no excuse. Can you spend an hour? And you don't need to be spending the same hour every day. You can spend any time that you are free that day. I tell you, there's no excuse if you don't get constituted in the Lord's recovery today. Okay, number 3, set aside 2 hours every week to care for people. And 20 years ago, we started door knocking. And we asked the saints to go out and knock on doors. Oh, some of the saints, I'm scared, you know. Some come to full-time training. They're second generation. They grew up in the church life all their life. They never speak to anybody about the gospel. Then when we take them out, they say, you knock. I never knock. And of course, now that I get sick, I can't go out that more often. But my wife still goes every Sunday afternoon. She goes out with some of the full-timers and some of the local saints to go out and knock on the neighbor's door. And people talk about going to the Middle East to preach the gospel. We have the Middle East in our neighborhood. Brooker Street, where Borough is close to, is called Little Arabia. And last night I said, here in New York, you have Little Italy, Little Poland, Little Ireland, Little Mexico, Little Puerto Rico, Little Mexico, Little Korea. Japanese tongue, China tongue, whatever tongue. If we would go on to all these neighbors to knock on their door, he told me that there are 648 subway stations here in New York. If you go and reach those neighborhoods around every one of those subway stations, I guarantee you in 5 years, there'll be 640 home meetings, one around each of those subway stations. That's what they're doing in Shanghai now. And Shanghai is just like a phoenix that rose up overnight. New York is the oldest city, the most cosmopolitan city, and potentially the best city for the practice of the God ordained. And today, you don't even need to go knock on door. Get on your iPhone, or just call up anybody, or go to Starbucks, anywhere. You just spend 2 hours and you said, I devote 2 hours a week to take care of new people. Backsliding ones? I guarantee you there's more backsliding ones in New York than those that are sitting here. I know that because that's true in every church. The number of people that don't meet is more than the number of people who meet. You don't even need to knock on cold doors. Just go and knock on somebody who haven't met for a long time. When I was in Korea, my brother, he stood up and testified, and he's a leading brother. But for a while, he was not meeting, and he got offended. And he said, if the church, I won't go back to the church until the church come and visit me. So one day, a brother, his bicycle broke down, and it was right at the bottom of where that brother lives. And he said, I remember there's a brother living up there. So he went up there to borrow tools. He knocked on the door, and the brother said, the brothers finally came. And so he came back to the meeting, and now he's the leading brother. This is a true story. Oh, there's so many people that can be taken care of. Just set aside 2 hours every week. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Building up companion relationship. I talk about that in the third meeting, how we need to have a vital relationship. Then sanctifying the Lord's day to the Lord. Then number six, offering your finance regularly to the Lord. Then number seven, speaking about the Lord and the ministry regularly. You know, a few years back in Korea, they just came out with the recovery version. So they had a big, huge convention with 10,000 people and parades. And they designed special caps. So I told them, I said, okay, good, the recovery version is out. But you need your cap, CAP. C is for constitution, A is for appreciation, and P is for propagation. First, you need to be constituted by the truth, then you get to appreciate and enjoy it, and then finally you propagate it. You can only speak out what you digest in. How many say amen to the first waypoint?
Amen.
How many say amen to the second waypoint?
Amen.
Third, A.
Amen.
Fourth.
Amen.
Fifth.
Amen.
Sixth.
Amen.
Seventh.
Amen.
Have a safe journey all the way.
Amen.
I stop here. Sorry, I took up a little bit more of your time. I always get excited. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. To hear the complete recording and other messages, please visit livingtohim.com. If you would like to receive regular updates from us, please subscribe to this podcast and join our mailing list on our website. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, where our handle is @LivingToHim.